So if you run an industrial plant, you are probably staring down a capital budget right now.
Yeah, trying to figure out how to, retrofit those older machines for connectivity.
Exactly. You likely have a spreadsheet sitting on your desk right now, the one sorting your 22 brownfield machines by age, marking the oldest ones as dark, and budgeting to retrofit them.
Right, the classic age-sorted spreadsheet.
The classic one. And our mission in this deep dive is to completely dismantle that spreadsheet. We are looking at a stack of integrator audit reports and network architecture white papers today.
And they show exactly why this age-based approach guarantees your project will drag on for 18 months instead of 6.
It is. I mean, you have probably seen these integrator reports writing off older machines as just not economically viable. But what if the machines written off as too old are actually the easiest to connect?
And the brand new ones are the actual bottleneck.
Right.
Well, that is the uncomfortable reality we found in these reports. You walk the floor with an integrator, and 2 weeks later, they hand you a document writing off machines simply because they were installed in the mid-90s.
Just purely based on the year they were built.
Exactly. And that points to a structural reason why sorting by age is a fundamental error. We use the word legacy to imply a technical barrier. But legacy is not an age. It is a permission state.
A permission state. Wait, so you are saying a machine is legacy when nobody is willing to authorize reading from it?
That is exactly it. Look at a control from the mid-90s. It is often in the best possible position for connectivity.
Because the physical documentation is probably just sitting in a cupboard somewhere.
Right. The support contract expired 2 decades ago, so there is no warranty at stake. And most importantly, your local controls engineer has full authority to open the panel and pull a signal.
So the permission cost is basically zero.
Yes. But a machine delivered in the last 5 years is a completely different story. It is often the hardest to connect. Its data capability might be excellent, but it is usually licensed as an option.
And if you did not buy that option, well, you are locked out. It is like judging an asset by its paint job rather than its contract status.
Which is a perfect analogy, because if you try to extract data anyway, you run right into the support agreement. That agreement likely contains stripped language about unauthorized modification.
And your maintenance lead will flat out refuse to test that language while the machine is under warranty. There is a real dry irony there. Plant managers experience the new machine being harder to connect, they find it absurd, and then they fail to document that reality.
So the next site just repeats the exact same error with the same spreadsheet,
Right.
which is why we have to transition to the correct way to sort a machine park. We need to sort by what the control already emits and the permission cost required to read it.
And based on the white papers we are reviewing, that leaves us with four distinct bands of connectivity.
Yeah, four bands. Let's start with band one. This is where a control publishes a standard information model. The semantic work is done for you.
Meaning the data identifies itself, like a spindle load is labeled as a spindle load.
Exactly. A good example here is UMATI over OPC UA. But we know most plants do not have a floor full of band one machines.
No, they definitely do not.
Which brings us to band two. This is register access, typically over Modbus TCP. You can reliably read a number here.
But you have no idea what that number represents without doing manual work.
Right. Interpreting whether register 400012 is a part count or an internal error code requires a controls engineer to spend a morning digging through a manual.
It is just raw data.
Yeah. Though I should mention, MT Connect actually sits right between bands one and two as a standard that is read only by design.
Which ties right back into the permission state. If a protocol is read only, it lowers the perceived risk for the maintenance team.
Exactly. It removes the fear of crashing a spindle. But moving on to band three, this is where we are dealing with bare contacts and relays. The machine is only emitting physical state.
I have to push back a bit here. Is relying on bare contacts not essentially a massive defeat for a modern plant? It feels like giving up on real data.
People think that, but it is actually a misconception. Timing cycles and counting parts from relays is enough for an OEE calculation.
Just from a simple relay pulse.
Yes, having comparable availability across an entire fleet is worth far more than having perfect high-fidelity data on a single machine while the rest of the floor is a blind spot.
That is a fair point. So what is band four then?
Band four is when the machine emits nothing at all. To get data, you are looking at requiring an added sensor or just an honest manual entry.
So if a plant accepts this reality, they were looking at four completely different levels of fidelity. You have rich semantic data from OPC UA, you have a naked number from a register, and you have a literal relay pulse.
Yeah.
How do they handle that without breaking their reporting system? We cannot just flatten all the data and ignore where it came from.
No, absolutely not. You cannot flatten it. The differences are real. The solution that scales here is a canonical signal model that sits above those four bands.
Okay, so it serves as one internal representation of a signal.
Yes, but the signals must still carry different metadata about their provenance and confidence.
Walk me through how that looks in practice.
So a part count from a companion specification, a part count derived from a Modbus register, and a part count from a relay pulse all arrive at the edge gateway. The gateway packages them so they arrive in the exact same shape.
Meaning the downstream reporting dashboard just sees a standardized part count.
Right. Nothing downstream needs to know which band a machine came from unless it specifically asks via that metadata.
That keeps your reporting incredibly clean. It prevents every single report from containing custom conditional logic just to handle the quirks of machine 23.
It does. And if a plant fails to build this canonical signal model early, they will inevitably fall into one of three distinct failure modes. The first is the retrofit reflex.
Which is buying a sensor for a value the control already publishes. Like putting a $5,000 optical part counter on a machine that has a $10 cycle complete relay already built in.
Exactly. Management likes the purchase order because it feels like tangible progress. But the retrofit reflex leads directly to the second failure mode.
The parallel plant.
Right. The parallel plant is the consequence of that reflex. The added sensor says the machine made 1,140 parts, but the internal machine counter says 1,152.
Because they are measuring subtly different events, one is a beam breaking, the other is a chuck opening.
Yes, and neither is technically wrong.
It is like wearing two watches and never quite knowing the exact time. You spend all your energy comparing the watches. Data that disagrees with itself is far more corrosive than absent data. I mean, absence is at least honest.
That is a great way to put it. Conflicting data breeds total cynicism. That is why the design rule here is rigid. For every value, there must be one authoritative source declared in advance.
Any secondary measurement has to be explicitly subordinate.
Exactly. And if you fail to enforce that rule, you get the third failure mode, which is the snowflake fleet.
That is when you connect each machine as its own bespoke science project with its own conventions.
Right. Machine A sends a running total. Machine B resets its counter every night at midnight. And nobody documents the difference.
It just results in a massive data archaeology project that you discover during a painful audit 2 years later.
Yes, which is why the canonical model has to be architected before you connect the second machine.
So overcoming these technical traps is one thing, but it really requires specific technical governance. Which brings us to the actual final hurdle. Getting the connection approved by maintenance, works councils, and network owners.
Well, we mentioned maintenance earlier. They are right to refuse connection to supported machines. Therefore, a connection must be read only by construction.
And read-only is not a compromise you have to apologize for in a meeting. It is this specific thing that gets the project approved. But why is a software configuration flag for read-only not enough?
Because a configuration flag can be changed remotely by anyone with a laptop. If you rely on a software toggle, your technical review immediately turns into a liability negotiation.
So it has to be defined by the physical architecture.
Yes, read-only must be defined by what the hardware is physically capable of doing.
What about works councils? They have strict requirements for connectivity, too.
Very strict. Works councils require that access is scoped to a specific site and role by default.
And what about audit reads?
Audit reads must fail closed, meaning if a request lacks a trusted identity, it is dropped entirely. And no auto-approved path can exist anywhere in the system.
That makes perfect sense. Oh. And under directives like NIS2, the focus shifts a bit. The relevant question is really just who owns the network segment and who answers the phone when that segment drops at 3 a.m.
Exactly. Now, we need to be highly specific about where this technology actually stands today.
Right. Let us state the product status exactly as it is in the sources for this audience.
The read-only edge with roughly 72 hours of buffer is shipped. A vendor-neutral OEE across a mixed fleet is shipped.
And the protocol normalization layer we discussed.
The protocol normalization layer is built and in testing. It is proven by live reads for OPC, UA, and UMATI, and against simulators for Modbus TCP and MTConnect.
So it is proven against simulators for Modbus TCP and MTConnect.
Yes, but we must be very clear. It has never been connected to four kinds of machines in production.
It is crucial we state those exact boundaries. Well, let us summarize the core of this deep dive. Sorting a machine park by age is a fundamental error.
It absolutely is.
Progress relies on treating legacy as a permission state. You have to understand the four bands of extraction and establish a canonical signal model early, avoid the retrofit reflex, and secure strict permission through a physically read-only architecture.
Yeah. Getting those pieces right is the only way to keep a deployment to 6 months instead of an 18-month slog.
So here's a final thought to mull over before your next plant modernization steering committee. The biggest barrier to your progress is not a lack of new technology. The real bottleneck is a lack of clarity on who actually holds the authority to listen to the data your machines have been broadcasting for 20 years.